This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved and we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, man. It's just not enough.
Oh, no, man.
But, man.
My darling, I can't get enough to your love, man. Girl, I don't know why. Can't get enough to your love, man. Lord, some things I can't get used to. Everything in you. What kind of love is this that you're giving me? Is it in your kiss or just because you're sweet? Girl, all I know is every time you're here, I feel a change. Something rude. I scream your name. Just what you got to do with, darling, I can't get enough to your love, baby. Unreal still, I keep loving you more and more each time. Girl, what am I gonna do? Cause you're blowing my mind. I get the same old feeling every time you're here. I feel a change, something moves. I scream your name. Look what you got to do with me.
Baby, it didn't take all of my life to find you. But you can believe it's gonna take the rest of my life to keep you.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and we'll be right back in a few seconds.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay. Well, I thank you for gathering around today and listening and chatting. And if you like to talk about little politics or those things that weren't covered last night and didn't show up on the radar, feel free. This will be an open hour here, and actually the next 2 hours I have several things I'm going to talk about. But for those of you that didn't get enough of last night's reports or didn't get it off of your chest, feel free to call in and share with the other listeners out there. And 524-1080 is the number, and see what the predictions are. Who's in, who's not, who's going to win. And funny thing about politics, we always say who wins. But the reality, the big question is who lose. And maybe there should be I was looking at the small amount of people that vote. People have died and struggled and to get to vote. And then all of a sudden, we fancy pants grow up and won't bother to vote. And we treat it and we sit back and say, well, I don't vote. And they're proud to speak about it. I've not witnessed anything like that in recent times. In the old days, people fought and struggled and protested just to vote. And now folks are proud to tell you, oh, I don't bother to vote. I don't bother. And I don't know if it's in the water or in the food or the GMO or what, but it seems to be working, whatever it is. And then we turn around and complain. And, you know, an interesting thing, maybe it's just me, but I found that a lot of people that brag about not voting, and they're proud when they say that, and they give you many excuses, they're the very ones that complains. I was going to say something else, but that complains about the politicians. But they never bother to vote. And maybe we all need to see a psychiatrist, because I don't understand that one. You can hear them complaining. Well, you know, I don't like this guy, and I don't like him. I don't like him. He's not good. And then when you really look a little deeper, they don't even vote. Never registered to vote. Can you imagine 2012 people are not registered to vote yet? They talk as if they're part of the political party, that their heart beats right there with the party and the interest in the movement. So only a small portion of the population votes, actually. And then the old excuse is, well, look who they're giving us. And it's like, well, no, they're not giving you anything. That's what you're giving them, a unobstructed path to put anybody in front of you. But last night was just a repeat, and it was a struggle watching it to see the same old faces. And then I saw Danny Noy there, Senator Danny Noy. He's still a senator, and I'll be respectful of that. But if I was Caldwell, I would run, because it seems that everybody that got the blessings of Mr. Noy, they didn't get to go far. They get to go away and out of politics. So if a little word to the wise, and someone, and I'm going to do some checking, but there's some interesting things about the politics. And look at this guy Caldwell now, and I don't know. You can look at Ben Cayetano too. I mean, I think the people around him were so sure of themselves, and that's the arrogance in politics, I guess, that, well, they had 51%, and so they weren't reaching out. But someone pointed out to me that there are three characters noticeable, and I'm going to trouble myself, and I know a great portion of it is factual, and just one of the portion of it that I just need to see for myself. I'm that kind of a guy, but I'll share with you prematurely, and that is, why is it Caldwell, when he's in Kaimuki and stomping around out there, he's with Chad Sunyoshi, and you know, I told you Chad was a convicted felon, drug smuggler. hanging out with Ernie Marden, campaign manager, treasurer. His wife works there. Caldwell has that guy, too, for a partner or get support. That's number one. Number two, there's another gentleman that is a convicted murderer that when he goes in these areas, when Caldwell travels in these areas, this guy is with him. When Caldwell goes to Waianae, he's there with the Westbrook, who is Mufi Hanneman's cousin, security guard, has contracts with the city apparently or whatever, had grants, convicted felon. So I offer that, and the microphone is open, and the telephone is live and hot, and if either of you want to call in, and that means the three guys that hangs with Caldwell. But as a citizen, I'm quite interested in how can one collect such friends, and how can they be in such close proximity with the daily doings of a campaign or a candidate. Now, some of you may think that that's wrong, and that's not. I'm not offering that to pick candidates. And if you have equivalent or similar information about Ben or any other politician, call up, give us the facts, and let's talk about it. We can clean up government by simply revealing and being transparent. If they're not, we can be. So that may not set well with some of you, but. We have to ask ourselves, it's who you run with. If it's what you eat makes you, then it's who you keep as friends can also make you, or there's some benefit. And I couldn't call Caldwell up and talk to him. He wouldn't give me the time of the day. So I'm just curious as to how we arrive at when a person has a collection of friends, or how did they gravitate to him, or how did he gravitate to them? That's the first bit, and would have said this a long time ago, but just trying to do some confirmation. Anyway, I want to share with you a situation that affects all of us, each and every one of us, or you, me, them, they. And what that is it's about trash. It's about let's say household trash, green waste, everything. And I guarantee you may not know it, but it's happening. What is occurring is that there is, when you put your green waste or your bulky items, let's say bulky items, and you put your refrigerators and washers and dryers, stoves, air conditioners and microwaves, you put them out there, and the government, city government, is to come along and pick them up, or their private contractor. So you don't know this, or you may have witnessed it and didn't fully understand, but there is what you call trash pickers or scrappers, or they call themselves haulers or have a number of names. But what is happening out here, it's something that's brewing. And it's one day you folk might be just waking up to a squabble or a fight. And what that fight is, there's a belief amongst the scrappers, citizens who get in their trucks and drive ahead of the city workers to go ahead and pick the trash. But they're picking for the metal. And they're picking, and metal being in the refrigerators and in the stoves. And the air conditioners, and, you know, there's copper in the air conditioner and aluminum, and likewise in the refrigerators. And also the scrap metal. That metal is valuable in the whole scheme of recycling and making iron. So here's what's happening. The city has a contract with a private company, for example, Refrigerant Recycling in Campbell. And the reason they have this contract is that inside the refrigerators or the air conditioners, there are, and the microwave, there's an electronic magnet and what have you. And so there's some environmental consequences. So the city has set up with this recycler who will take this refrigerator that is delivered to them by the city workers. And they will extract, there's oil, which is a chlorinated oil. It's not toxic or hazardous, but it's to be treated as such because it's oil. And there's also Freon or refrigerant gas. And so they take it to this facility, the legitimate process, and this facility reclaims the gas. And that reclamation process, they then take that gas, because some companies still use old types of refrigerators and freezer units, and you can't manufacture the old gas. There's a new gas. And so EPA has allowed the recycler, rather than bleeding it off into the environment in these ozone depleters, you in turn recycle that. The oil, the same thing. So you're looking at this, and let's say it'd bring you about $28 for a refrigerator. So they take the gas. Now, that's the legitimate way. Now, just the other day, and I've been tracking this and photographing it and documenting it. Just the other day, I get a call, and I'm told that there is a squabble in YPO. City worker is with the crew. The police is there. And there's a citizen there. The police tells, and I'm just paraphrasing, tells the city worker now that he can arrest the city worker because the citizen arrived at the scene and claimed the material first. Now, you put this out, and so the worker is standing there now. As a worker, what do? Do you go out and tackle a guy and take the refrigerator away or the air conditioner away or whatever the unit is because you're doing your official duty? And so I look at this, and this is what's happening. ROH, Revised Ordinance of Honolulu, 9-1.6, disturbing receptacles prohibited. No person shall remove or disturb any refuse, green waste, and any other recyclable materials as designated by the director from the place where the same has been placed for collection. The policeman didn't know that. But you have these folks driving around ahead of the crowd. And so what happens, some of the stuff they go in, if there's a refrigerator or there's a stove and it's a glass top stove, they will actually take a hammer or a heavy piece of metal and break the glass and dump it on the sidewalk, throw the metal stove, the body of the stove, on the back of the truck and haul bonds, leaving it as appearing. So here comes a city worker, comes along, and all you as a citizen see is the city truck, and you see them picking it up. But you don't know that it's been a citizen who came along and broke the glass and dumped it or just left things in disarray. So what is happening, and these guys are actually challenging the city workers, threatening them with bodily harm, telling them that I was here first, so therefore it's mine. Get your hands off, or I will file a complaint that you're stealing from me. You won't see all of that, but and it sounds like an innocent process, but there's a war going out there that the city officials, the upper management, need to be more firm, because it's going to leave you and me to exposure of contaminants. Because if you got to walk through the oily spots that they've cut the little line on the refrigerator or the air conditioner, and there's that oil and it's drained on the ground, you and your dogs got to walk through it and what have you, and your children play in it. So that's what's going on with the scrap haulers. Now, not to mention just the concern is the environmental concerns that they are dumping this. And so some of them will actually grab the stove and the refrigerator and haul bonds and go to another location where they will then cut the line and bleed or vent the oil or the gas on the ground or into the air. So any contaminants, if there is containers with chemicals that when you set out for paints and whatever, I actually saw a guy take a steel can that he's looking for metal and poured the contents. I don't know what the contents were, but he poured them on the ground because the can had some decent weight to it, or the container. And it was like one of those small, looked like a beer keg size, but he dumped whatever was in it, but it wasn't beer. And threw it on the back of the truck and drove off. So when you drive down the road now, you might notice there are trucks, pickup trucks, look like the Beverly Hills Billy. The opening scene when they're driving down the road with all the crap hanging from the truck. Now, with that, these guys are putting your life in danger as they travel, and some of it is not tied down, some of it is not anchored down, and some of it is actually falling. I have pictures of them where full freezer units falling off the truck into the road. And so who do you complain to, or if there's an injury, who do you go to take legal action or to fix your car? Who do you do that? Now, on the other hand, if you were a commercial company, they will actually pull you over if you have a strap loose, if you have a screen that's kind of looking awkward and not covered. But the scrap haulers get to drive freely anywhere, all times of the day and night. The not properly marked materials hanging off. I have photographs of them traveling down the streets with materials hanging from the truck that's longer than the full length of the truck. That's not on the truck. Now, I'm talking about dragging it. It's extended. They're not getting tickets. They're not getting cited. They're not getting arrested. But if you go in Kalailoa, where most of the recycling companies are, that they're delivering a lot of this material that are buying it, you'll see the state DOT there with scales. All the big commercial trucks have to pull over, and they're checking them for flaps and zippers and screens and license. Meantime, a small pickup truck can drive by with things hanging, and when I mean hanging and untethered or not tied down or anchored down, they just drive right by. What's the difference between a large commercial truck losing a load and a small pickup truck losing a load that has four or five stoves on it, a refrigerator, three or four refrigerators and all that? What's the difference if one of those fell in your pathway as you were traveling down the road at a good piece of 50 miles, 60 miles an hour? So there is a danger lurking out there. And if some of you have seen something like this, or I wish that you would give me a call, because I'm trying to document, and it's not making a mountain out of a molehill. There are some serious consequences with this, environmentally and safety-wise, and especially if the city workers have to engage or tolerate or deal with people, them doing their own job. Whereas if a policeman, you walk up to a policeman and you interfere with him, you might get yourself a stiff ticket or go to jail. But a city worker, the refuse haulers or workers, they got to stand there, and it's demeaning. And I've spoken to one of the guys, and he says, you know, no matter what they say, I'm going to lie. Because I know that if I know every lie I can tell. And so when we talk about lies and what have you, if you put this material out there in the street, if your day is Wednesday, you put it out there this morning or today, and it's going to be next week. Well, that person can actually, the way the law is written, one of these stupid laws, the person can come along and pick up the trash or the refrigerator. But if you put it out there the evening before the pickup date, that's legal. It's a city, and the person can be arrested or charged for disturbing. But there's a silly little law that says, it says that this section shall not apply to bulky waste placed on the street or sidewalk earlier than the evening before the scheduled days of collection, in which case the property owner or the association of apartment owners of the abutting property shall remove and store such bulky waste in accordance. So I guess some may say, well, why did you tell the haulers about, the scrappers about the loophole? It's not a loophole. It's to say to you that if your trash is being picked up tomorrow, you can put it out today, and it's still legal. If you put it out yesterday or Friday to have it picked up on Monday, then you creating or contributing to the problem. So be conscious and cognizant of the law and how you can prevent it. But if you don't think this is important, trust me, I know a couple of apartment buildings that have had folks to come in and dump their oil, cut where they removed several air conditioners and had them sitting out for pickup. And the scrappers come by and just cut the hoses and bled about 7 or 8 air conditioners in that ran out into the driveway. And then the tenants there start driving out onto the street and they start swerving. So if you don't think it's real, it's a problem. And I was just thinking, imagine being a city worker and you're standing there and nobody can clarify this. And all that you can do is you're already out there sweating and working and smelling garbage, other folks' garbage. Yeah, I know they get paid. But who said part of the job was to taking to be offended and assaulted and insults hurtled at you? And you have to show great restraint, because if you become physical, or as the other day, the policeman was quick to say, well, you know, he said that you said something bad to him, so therefore it's easy. And I think this was a young policeman. I don't know if he was about ready to get off schedule or coming on, but a seasoned officer would have said, no, this is the rules and this is the way it's going to be. Just on its face value, a city worker in an official truck driving around picking up refuse, doing his official job, is not a thief. So I think it was just someone probably had been driving all night and patrolling and just wasn't aware of the real law. But it's going to take some work, and who knows? It's something that you should be concerned about, the stuff falling off on the road or dumping the contaminants. And I don't know where the EPA is in this. As you may recall, I had Fred Burgess, a city worker, and this is different, supervisor of the refuge, who was out going around cutting metal and scrapping metal and what have you, and bleeding the refrigerant into the air. Well, this is different. This is something, and the EPA and the state health department should be actively involved in this, but you know, the health department and the EPA only get involved when it's a little guy on a moped that's doing crack. You know, they don't take on the big guys in this town. So, and the state health department, you have to, like, now trick them into doing their work. You tell them there's something in it for them, and then they may do something, that they may get some money or they may get a bill passed. But in the general scheme of things, they don't do much. You have to go down and pull their coattail, and they'll tell you, oh, yeah, we're into that and what have you. So that is again, a mountain growing into a bigger mountain, because it's out there. There's big problems associated with it, and it's just the way it's going to be. And I'm hoping that this week I'm going to try and send a letter to the city officials and just remind them that they have an obligation, and I'm sure they don't have any reason not to do their job. to, become concerned with these scrap haulers. And that's, and I know this is rough times that you see, but when you go around, as I do, just yesterday, down in in Kalailoa in Campbell Industrial Park, there's a couple streets there. And if you're ever over there and you by chance note the recyclers, the place that look at some of their in the street fronting their property, and what you'll notice, and look to the curb right of the apron side of the street, the where you park, and if you get a chance, look at the amount of broken glass, look at the amount of large oil stains, and what you're seeing is that you see the recycler will not accept a car with oil or gas, some of them, and there are tires. So what they will actually do is the guy that's delivering the car will get under the car and take a pick or a heavy piece of bar metal and slam the gas tank and drain the gas tank onto the road. Same thing with the crank oil. Will it get under there and take the cap off the oil pan and let it drain right on the street? And the washer fluid, crankcase oil. And what they'll do then, you see, that car has been decanted by definition, so the recycler will accept a car. So these are, we're talking about, and now most of these are situated right near the ocean. And when I say a stone's throw from the ocean. So this is what's happening in the environmental world with recycling. So recycling on its face value is a good thing. But if you see what's happening in the dark of night or out of sight, you would say, is it worth the recycling? Because what they're inviting is that Island Recycling receives refrigerators and what have you. And at one time, I had a gentleman to take a couple in, and what happens? What happens to the oil? Now, some of them will charge you to take that oil, and so they'll deduct amount of money, maybe $8. But some of the guys will drain the gas and the oil on the road. So yesterday I did some photographing of a gentleman doing a car radiator. And standing there, you look, the ground is blackened with different oils and chemicals. And it's just one after the other. And it could be 5, 6, or 7 in that area right there along the shoreline that's cutting and plugging. He gets $7 or 7.5 cents, 7.5 cents for per pound for whatever metal, or maybe a little more. But if you see what he's doing to the environment, or they are doing to the environment, and the state health department you can't find them. So anyway, scrappers are causing some problems, and it may not sound much of a problem now, but when you quantify because of its appeal with the money, I would say in a given day there would be 100 of these events. So the 100 of these events, it could be, one gentleman told me that he, right next door, he has, there's 500 gallons of oil that came from auto mechanics and whatever, but he doesn't realize that I know that he also buys refrigerators from the military on an auction, and then in turn puncturing them and bleeding them. And what do you do with that oil? Does it go out into the bushes? Does it go out? So anyway, you walk along the streams and you see that there's this, what do you call it, sheen. There's always, you can stand there and any given day you'll see a sheen on the water. And you try to figure out, what is this? So anyway, that's what's going on with that. The I'm concerned with it because eventually, all in these areas, the beaches will be saturated, and you drive by and you're breathing it up your nostrils and what have you. So it makes a problem. And if you're inclined to do so, go contact the city and inquire, or be more watchful of when you put your trash out there. That's how you can help. Don't put it out 3 or 4 days. Or if there's a delay in the pickup, I know it's asking a lot, but move it back in, because eventually you may not know it, but you're contributing to this process, or this illegal process, that you by placing it there and leaving it there, the folks come along, pick it up, puncture a hole in it, and they got the metal, and that's all they're concerned with. They're off to the races. So anyway, I'm going to take a break here. I got one little thing to check on. And what I will tell you is that over on Maui, there is a no-kill shelter conference plan. And it's planned by the executive director of Ninth Life Hawaii on Maui. So if you want to go, call 572-3499, 572-3499. And sorry, caller, I missed your call there, but this is, I'll just give you, the lady's name is Phyllis Tavares, and she's the executive director of Ninth Life. I was actually going to have her on the show this morning. She called and was ill, sickened by something. But anyway, as you know, we have a great many animals that are around, and due to overpopulation or dumping or what have you, because humans are irresponsible. We bring the cute little pooches in, and we love them dearly, but circumstances develop, and then all of a sudden Scotty or Bambino has to be abandoned for whatever reason. You know, humans are kind of lazy, so they could actually exhaust every measure of trying to find some place to house this animal, but circumstances dictate, and so the pooches or the cuties get dumped. And so this is, and ultimately they end up in the killing zone, where that's the Humane Society, or not just Hawaii, but many of them are managing the population by killing and trying to adopt out as well. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Thank you for the nice laugh you gave me this morning.
Okay.
Saying about bambinos and all that. That was a good one. About those poor rubbish pickers. Mm-hmm. I had glass all in front of my area. I had to go out that evening and sweep it up. Mm. Cripple and all.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, if they're around, I appreciate them coming and picking up all the scrap iron. But don't do it so messily. Do it cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
They're helping the recycling. If I have a washing machine and I want to put it out there, before the scrappers come, the neighbors come and drag it in their house. They fix it up and they use it and they wash their clothes. And now they got nice, clean clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. I like to put my rubbish out 7 days before the pickup.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what the problem is? They don't come and pick it up after 3 days later. Then they want to give us a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we cannot put our things out. We're elderly people in these homes that we live.
Mm-hmm.
We have to drag it out. It takes us about 3-4 days before we get our things out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky if I put scrap out there in my whole life 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Before we had a good thing. If you need anything, you can call up the city. You put your things out. You take days to put your things out. They would come and they would slowly come and pick it up. So we have to go back to our old ways that we used to have when we had things that we didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
With our lawnmowers and our old rusty old shovels and our old wheelchair. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is call the city before we had no trouble.
Right.
Now, I put a stove out there. They bust the glass. Oh, my God. I thought the city did that. I didn't know that the scrappers did that. Come on, scrappers. Cooperate with us.
Yeah, well, they are definitely. I can assure you, the city workers, unless they're trying.
I thought the city did that. I never went out there to see who was doing that.
No, they.
It was about a week or two or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had glass all over the road. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, those burners that go under the burners all over the road. The cars driving by. I had to go pick all that up and throw it on the curb. I said, what's the matter with these people vandalizing all these metal? Why didn't they take it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm glad you're sharing that because I don't want to pretend that this is a big problem or convey
it. It is a big problem for me. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I called the city refuge, but it was late that mm-hmm. evening.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to call it the next day. But you know what I decided to do as a good citizen? Quietly pick it up, sweep it up, put it on the side. No trouble. So we have to do our part, too.
Mm-hmm. Well,
everybody has to do their part. The scrapper has to do their part. The city has to do their part. I have to do my part.
Yeah.
They wanted that metals.
Well,
so they figure, thanks, lady. I'm doing you a favor.
Mm-hmm.
So now you go pick up that rubbish and put them on the side. No trouble.
Yeah, they're not going to pick
you
up the glass. They're not going to pick up your glass because they have to move, you see, because if they stand there and carefully take the glass off and set it down.
If I went out there,
mm-hmm.
I would have told them, hey, no need broke the glass. That's an expensive stove. I think that's $3,000 stove. You know what you do? You just open the door and pull them out and lay the thing on the side and take the rest.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know things. People don't know that they can take all the kerosene, all the chemicals. They have one place, the city tell you, put them in one can, make one appointment with them, and go take them to them, and they get rid of it for you. You don't have to spill it all over the road. Those guys don't know.
Yeah.
If they knew, they probably would go drain them and put them in one can and go down the city and give it to the city. The city will take things, all that stuff from you.
Mm-hmm.
You call them up. They got posts on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody no more on computer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the city, you have gas. We have gas. We have anything. We don't spill them down the road and sneak at night. We put them in one can, and it takes about 1 or 2 months. You call them, you make an appointment, you take them down there, they take them from you.
Mm-hmm.
We give them can and all. They like that because they get free gas cans and containers.
No, I think they're probably worried. But anyway, what you don't want to do is confront these guys because some of them...
No, they're nice guys.
Yeah, they're nice.
They come over. You know what they say? They come over, you know, like you said, the wagons with all the things all hanging over and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They tell, hey, you get scrap. I tell no more, but when I get, I'm going to put outside, you come pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some, we drained all, we took the tires, and then we put them out. We hear the neighbor say, they're not going to take that. What's the matter with them? They don't know what they're doing. Never take one day, the guys came quietly, took all the things, and went away.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell, hey, we get plenty more. You come to my house every time you pass my house, you can pick up all the stuff. But ours is all drained and legally put out there
mm-hmm.
for the scrapper or for the, what you call that, the rubbish man.
Mm-hmm.
The wonderful rubbish man that put your rubbish can in the middle of the road and crack your rubbish can and drop them from a height. Beautiful city and county rubbish can guys. I think they have corrected the situation, but not correcting it too much. It's still little sassy guys. They get paid $100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
They better do their work right.
Yeah, well, this is about being in a hindered and hampered.
Everybody's being lazy, so everybody's grumbling. Don't be lazy and grumble. Do your part.
Right. Well, they can't.
See, I like call you and talk to you and say this and be heard all over the world
mm-hmm.
what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We help each other. That's what we got to do.
Well, good. Well, anyway, yeah, make
and
sure.
You know, I'm grateful for you to come on to say all these things on the radio
mm-hmm.
so everybody can understand each other.
Yeah, and it's worth it, but...
It's worth it what you're doing. And
but,
you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Because of you and I talking, there's going to be a big help. They're going to say, hey, the lady said, don't make the mess. Take the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we help each other to get our monies.
Well, what they should do
I'm grateful for them to come and pick up my trash.
Right.
The pickers and the recyclers and the neighbors. And me, myself, if I see something and I'm walking down the street, I will pick it up and bring it and use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, but don't beat up on the workers.
No, no, we don't beat up on the workers. We nice. We give them bananas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we put the bananas on top of the rubbish can, the cocky guys, the troublemaker guys.
Uh-huh.
So, oh, you are special person now. They're going to pick up and act good to you.
Uh-huh.
You don't act good to people because they act good to you. You act good because you are a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind what happens. Somebody punch me, I go away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go there, punch them or punch everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to be injured over here if we do that.
Yeah.
We all do our part.
Well, anyway, thank you, and keep giving them bananas. That at least will...
I don't give them the bananas. I just put them on the top, and you know what I hear? Thank you, Papa!
Well, and then come Christmas time, you put
we don't give nothing Christmas time.
No,
we don't give special.
No,
we give if we get.
No beer? Oh, I see you.
We don't give because we're going to get in return.
Uh-huh.
We give from the heart.
Uh-huh. And so you just,
If I get, I give. If I no more, I don't give.
Mm-hmm.
And if they mean, I throw them away and give them nothing next time.
Ah, and then you're going to end up with broken glass on your sidewalk.
I had broken glass on my sidewalk. If I walked out there, I would have told them, hey, you broke the glass. Pull the door out and put them on the side and take the rest.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know they can do that,
mm-hmm.
the expensive stoves.
Well, anyway, I hope you join me in the second hour. We're going to be talking about turtles and monk seals and any little thing.
Oh, you know what happened? You know what happened today? I heard the birds squealing and squealing, so I went to look out. Because before, I don't look out. I mind my own business. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
See a big gray cat walking in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
You know these people? They have their cats, and they let them run in the neighbor's yard. Because
mm-hmm.
the neighbor no more dog.
Mm-hmm.
The neighbor no more animal. So the neighbor, the next door, they even make things so the cats climb over and come in the
right.
yard.
Well, we're
you put cat in your cat house,
yeah.
Mr. Bambinos.
But we're going to talk about monk seals. You do know that the federal government is considering the delisting of the sea turtle, the green sea turtle, from endangered or threatened.
Oh, you
know
about that. I have something and a comment to say.
Well, we're going to talk about it later on if you like.
But you know what? They're
mm-hmm.
doing that endangered, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Sea turtles in the ocean, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And all the sharks are coming and they're feeding on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, they start feeding on the people. They're
mm-hmm.
doing wrong. You don't have to have endangered any animal. If they're there, they're there. They cause trouble, you get rid of them.
Well, I heard the sea turtle say, well, if that's true, then why do we worry about, on the evening news, we see another shark bites another human being. If the people are there, why aren't
you
we just letting
people... You put food in your yard, all the birds come.
Well, you put people in the water, all the sharks come. I mean,
you put the turtles in the water, abundance, the sharks come. They're eating the turtles, and they tell the people is eating the turtles.
Well, that's why
they're not supposed to be doing that. The sharks is eating the turtles.
That's why we're going to talk about this, because there's some enlightenment that needs to be done here, because we're all... We,
I hang myself all over the world, and I didn't sound too good.
Oh,
and I said, I'm never going to call Mr. Cox.
Oh, you're welcome.
He over the world. You know what I said? Here I am calling Mr. Cox all over the world.
Call anytime you like.
That's a hello to everybody all over the world. We have to have understanding all over the world.
You feel free to call anytime, but we're going to talk about it, and it's about enlightenment and looking at it from a different perspective, and then you can go away and make your own decision.
We have to look at the good and the bad perspective, and then do our part.
You know what I heard the monk seal and the turtle chatting the other day, and you know what I heard the monk seal say to the turtle? He said, you know, I know how it seems, and I heard they're going to delist you, but you know, I heard you guys taste good somewhere like chicken.
They said turtles taste good.
Yeah,
they
so well, we're going to change that, and we're going to see if we can
sound nothing wrong with eating the turtles. Nothing wrong with eating the fish.
Yeah.
You know what? I wish the people would eat more doves and minor birds. And maybe the street people are eating the minor birds and the doves. You know,
remember
you can come
to
my house and I can give them
many
doves a day if they're hungry.
The world is listening now, so be careful.
Yeah, I know,
don't
you know
say
what?
Silly things.
They're going to come to my house. They're going to be in my doorstep. So I have to be careful.
Yeah, so anyway, the world is listening to
him. The world is listening. So, aloha from Hawaii.
Okay, aloha.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you. All righty. Well, any of you can call up and talk to it. That's what this is about. I know some of you are going, as they say sometimes, why you let them go on? Well, I don't know. But everybody should have the time to say or whatever. But we're going to talk about that subject and raise the issue. There's someone else. I guess this is Ed to tell me he used to eat them. Good morning. Come in a question real quick.
Yeah. Hey, Carol, really appreciate your insights into these terrible things that happen. I mean, really, it just leaves me just really dismayed. I mean, sometimes it's really discouraging, you know, what you tell us. But, hey, I believe it's true, you know. I don't think you're making this stuff up.
Yeah,
but
no.
It's really disheartening to hear this stuff.
So, you know, if you want to, next hour I'm going to be talking, you mentioned Monk's Hills, and I'm just going to toss out some other perspective, but I welcome you to call back and pitch in, and because, you know, the delisting of the sea turtles and the Monk's Hill is the issue, and I think what's happening with that subject, see, everyone is so fearful of offending someone. If we say, well, object to them eating sea turtles, then I'm going to offend the native community. But we're all having an impact that we're not bringing into this equation. And many, many, many things. And we'll talk about them, and maybe we get a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then we'll eat ourselves out of house and home. I mean, that's what it's about.
Okay.
We seem to want to eat it all,
yeah.
or claim that entity is eating what we want to eat. So isn't it? It's all about our stomach and not our brain and our heart. So call back in the next hour, all right?
Okay, well, I wanted to ask you, what do you know about the members of the heart board? You know, I guess they all serve for free, at least ostensibly, huh?
You think so?
Ostensibly, yeah. That's why I say ostensibly they serve for free. But what do you know about them, like Don Horner and Buzzy Hong and the rest of these people?
I don't know all of them,
yeah.
But I'm looking, for example, I'm curious about how much they pay for parking. Their workers, where do they park? Do they get the discount parking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were supposed to pay for parking, and like city workers get to park, but they get a discounted parking, you know, whatever the bus pass is, that's what they have to pay for parking or something. I don't know what HART is. Is HART getting free? But we're going to be inquiring about that, and I think it's been raised before.
Uh-huh.
But are they getting a discount, or are they having to pay the full price?
Uh-huh.
You know,
right.
And anyway, it's... that's what we'll be talking about. If you got information you want to toss in, give me a call back in the next hour.
Okay.
All right? Okay. Aloha. Okay. All righty. We'll be back here shortly and see what we can do about the world's problems. But, yeah, believe it or not, they want to delist the turtles. And the green sea turtles and all. And it's not right. But that's what we're doing, you know. So what can we say about it? What can you do about it? I don't know. But that is what really, it's kind of painful because we're not being fair and talking about it. If it's a fisherman, they say there's too many monk seals. And the federal government brought the monk seals in and what have you. But anyway, I'll take care of you in the next hour, and we'll bring to the table many of these issues.
Tell me a secret.
Take care.
I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about one special secret.
Oh.
Because tonight I want to learn all about the secrets in your garden.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI. It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and let's see here. Caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I can give you the board of directors for the heart and all of the members,
mm-hmm.
and also their mission statement, if you would like.
Well, yeah, I would like. You sound like the same gentleman that called up with an abundance of information and never got back to it. We were craving for and waiting. What happened to you?
Well,
happened there, brother?
I've been involved with American for Disabilities, involved exposing Nestor Garcia.
Okay, well, good. We'll forgive you. We'll send you some cookies. What's your address?
well, thank you for taking my call, but I could do this for you if you want.
Well, do it for everybody out there. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Carrie Okanaga, Esquire, was the board chairman. I think she's now gone back to First Hawaiian. Ivan Louis Kwan is the board vice president, and he's the audit committee chairman. He must go before the city council often. Don Horner is the finance committee chairman out of First Hawaiian. The three banks that got money when they put Get Together with the general fund were First Hawaiian, Bank of Hawaii, and Central Bank, and now he's on the board for the heart. William Buzz Hong is the transit oriented development, Damian King, Project Oversight, Kim, Hui, Human Resources, Robert Bobby Bunda, no job description, Glenn Akimoto, Director of State Department of Transportation. Here is a good one, Wayne Yoshioka, Director of SETI Department of Transportation Services, and David Tange, director of City Department of Planning and Permitting. And the mission statement on this document that I'm reading is semi-autonomous, responsible for the planning, construction, operation, maintenance, and expansion of the city's fixed guideway mass transit system. Appointed board of business and transit leaders. Now, when they enact eminent domain, these are not elected officials that do it. They are appointed. Mm-hmm. Please comment.
Yeah. Well, there's about 18 things that people have mentioned to me, and Bobby Bunda,
yes.
Okinaga, Yoshioka.
Yes.
All of these guys, there's even Debbie Morikawa, who was with the D.C. Department of Community Services, the director. Believe it or not, she's aggressively campaigning for rail and was campaigning for MUFI, going to the senior homes. And this is a band of people that have gotten together and appointed. But there's one thing I'm curious after watching our fancy leader, Mr. MUFI Hanneman. I don't know what title we'll give him now, but I'm sure he'll pop up as something. But I'm curious, what's the potential or the possibility of him, MUFI Hanneman, being named or appointed to HART?
Oh, easily, maybe.
Yeah, who would do that appointment? Would Carlisle do that on his way out?
Still,
or?
Yeah, he's still mayor.
Yeah, and so these are the things that, you know.
That's very interesting.
This is each and every one of them owes their bloodline. And I looked at Peter Carlisle last night and I thought, now there is a man. If you were to ask me, can you come up with a picture of a poster child that has just been duped?
Oh, yes.
I would say, and I don't know this man. I've never spoken to him at length, but I would say that he's in his mind, he's playing back. And now he got to be very cocky and arrogant, to like he's committed to that. But I think he is probably saying to himself, I know my mother didn't raise a fool, and I got duped. I went and bit into this thing, and then look at me. I have nowhere to go. Well, they're going to need a lawyer for HART, right?
Yes.
So does he get appointed? So all of that, when you say comment on HART, I don't really get involved in the fray because I look for specifics. And
Diane Kawachi is the corporate counsel, so that if somebody were hurt on the street and they sued the city, she would be the one that represents the litigation.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if the city council were ever to sue the mayor, she represents the mayor, and the mayor sues the city council, I believe she represents the city, vice
right.
versa. So you're going to have an independent litigator to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one reason they created HART is to circumvent the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless Ann Kobayashi because she kept the most important entity there, which is the budget.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to come to her for the budget. And they have threatened her. They want her out. And she's got to run again in November. And she's going to have to run against a person from Parsons Brinkerhoff.
And who is that?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't heard who it might be. She said that last night.
Yeah, and watching the elections unfold, I was thinking of the myriad of scenarios that who MUFI Hanneman, I mean, people say, well, after last night's vote, he was through. He was through way back when I saw it trickling through his fingers, his entire political future, when he insulted the voters by saying he ran for mayor, served as mayor, and things were going to hell in the handbasket. And then he turned and says, I'm going to go and run again, but then I think I'll run for governor.
Yep.
Everyone I know that listened to this show are pretty darn smart. And you know what they said? I didn't take any polls, but 110% of the people that spoke to me said it was those little things that caused them to just not be forgiving of him and just send him on his way.
Well, I can tell you one in terms of Cachola. He promised Romy Cachola that the train would go through Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And after the election, it didn't go through Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. It went to the airport. And Romy Cachola went to Mufti and said, "What are you doing? You told me." And he said, "Romy, the ball is in your court now."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You cannot trust that man.
Well, I wished I had some way of applauding the voters out there. I just love, you know, when everyone called up and said, "I'm not going to vote anymore. I don't believe in this." Hey, man, we sent Mufti Hanneman a strong message.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and so for those of you out there, I can't applaud you and cheer you and shake your hands. I'd really kiss your hands if I could, because you were smart. You demonstrated that. Hey, while he was being a bully and getting appointing his friend, it's insulting when we look at this rail and all of that.
Yes, yes.
It's beyond belief, and he has no shame that he would walk in and say, "I'm going to run for Congress." You know, come on, you know, that's like robbing a man of every piece of bread he has and his food and water, and then kick his dog on your way out.
Yes, we're dealing with unconscionable people. There mm-hmm. is no shame.
Yeah, as I've demonstrated in earlier, we got Caldwell is hanging out with thugs and criminals and what have you, and known convicted cons, yeah. And Hanneman uses them. What is this? We can't get a straight answer, but you know, how about what's the guy's name? The employee of it, not the board member. But he was the Mufti Hanneman's Bill Brennan.
I don't know much about him.
And what happened to Frank Doyle? I mean, there's some other issues that city workers go there and work. They retire in their old position and get hired on by contract.
Oh, I'm sure that. Well, Yoshioka, his wife also works for Parsons Brinker Hall.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he came from.
Right. So I think that if I was the nervous politician, the Caldwells, the Carlisles, and anybody else that want to wear that suit and wear that label, I think there's a warning to them. We're not stupid. I wish I could get into the greater details of the rail issue, but I don't trouble myself with it because there's enough people doing that.
Well,
but
you,
I appreciate you.
You know that Nestor Garcia fined $6,500 and that he still sits at the council meeting and votes.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, I think this is what I would say is that the public should really focus their attention on Chuck Tato. We need to remove Chuck Tato. We need to have the mayor, and I hope we need to get him out of there. This man has done nothing but cover up,
wow.
And dismiss cases and wouldn't investigate any, and then he'd tell you, "Well, I don't have the resources." If I gave Chuck Tato $10 million right now and did the investigations for him, I'm serious. He is simply part of the chain gang, and that's what it is. They've set themselves up quite well.
Exactly.
But what else? I don't know the gentleman that called earlier asking about it, Filippo, if you have any comments on this. But
no, I would like to mention Citizens for American Disability. They're going to have a meeting on Tuesday in the City Hall, Honolulu Hall, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to be very significant because the people, Yoshioka, Hope is going to be there and others. Because they are being abused significantly with the vans.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on and on. I'm not going to. But that meeting on Tuesday is very significant. So if anybody could get there. And then on Wednesday, there's going to be a general meeting of the whole city council. And at that meeting on Wednesday, the bus problem is going to come up. They want the bus schedule to be reverted back to the original schedule. Now, that's coming up on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, earlier in the meeting, the Ethics Committee is going to have a bill involved. I don't know much about that, but I'm going to be involved both Tuesday and Wednesday of next week.
Okay.
And I just, for your and thank you so very much.
Right.
I mean, you're unique, that's all I can
well,
say.
Well, that's okay. I it's some other people don't think so.
Oh, good. No, that's good. I'm telling you, I'm tired of talking in paper and all that. It's time to be more aggressive and militant. They don't understand anything else.
Yeah, they do. I don't want to sound insulting, but folks, thank you. I'm always going to work to make things better.
Thank you very much, sir. Bye.
All righty. But imagine, folks, you sent a strong message, and those on the periphery standing there, they too know now that they can be held accountable.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Bye.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Good morning. Yeah, I have a message for Mr. Yoshioka.
Okay,
real quick. Tell him when the bus drivers are driving the bus and a little old lady is past 70 years old, she takes off and slams me to the ground. And then when I'm telling the other lady, look what this lady is doing, slamming me to the ground, and the passengers are trying to help me. So I say, I didn't even look at the bus driver, it was a man or a lady. I just sold my pass and I went on, and it was in the evening. And you know what the bus driver, she said, I heard what you said. I told the lady, look what she's doing, slamming the passengers to the ground. Tell Mr. Yoshioka, tell the bus drivers, quit slamming the old ladies on the ground.
All right.
She lives up here in Pacific Palisades, that bus driver. I might know her, but you know what? She was fighting with me. She said, I heard what you said, and you know what she was doing? Turning the lights off and on, making trouble with me. You know what I told her? She said, I heard what you said. You know what I told her? I told her, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't like it.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Well, we'll talk to Mr.
Don't slam the old people on the ground and on the bus.
All righty, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Aloha. Bye. Yeah, that's Yoshioka. Apparently, and maybe you folks can figure this one out, but they're going around. Yoshioka himself is going to talk to people at the subsidized homes to try and encourage them and get them to. And Morikawa is working with them. Why such small population? And he's trying to convince these folks. So you need to watch this guy. And again, maybe, you know, they say it's about Ben is hanging it on the rail. I think Ben Cayetano probably has something up his sleeve in that he's probably going to end up cleaning house and inviting the attorney general or inviting the FBI. Some say he's lawless, but I've watched him, and I believe that I think that that's what's really going on. I think there's going to be a bloodlet if he were to win, and that you're going to see investigations. And I know some of you probably got, and that's just my hopes. Now, Ben may get in and do the same thing that Peter Carlisle did, take us down the path and say, here's a real, take it or leave it. But I think there's a lot more to this thing than we're knowing, and I applaud him or anyone that would call for an investigation. This is beyond, it's not beyond repair. I just think that I saw the police department got a new van, and they were celebrating. And I was thinking, what if they were to get a bus, air conditioned and all, with about 80 seats, and just drove it over to the city hall once a week and collected the thugs that operate in and out of there, that call the legislators, that the employees that sit there and take their orders and lie to us as taxpayers and cheat us. I was thinking, that's the real emergency. We don't need an emergency command center now. We just need a transport bus. We need to start cleaning house, and we not just by voting, but causing investigations. And the prima facie evidence, the evidence is there. I mean, it's there. I mean, period. The kinds of things, the Nestor Garcias and all. And by the way, the caller. I will give you more than cookies. You deserve a lot more. But Nestor Garcia, I have no respect for any of them and the shame. And I see Ron Manor, he won. But Ron Manor is quite close to Mufi Hanneman, folks. And you know, so don't get your hopes up too high. But if there's any way that you can trigger or demand or require or request an investigation, I think that's what we as a community, as a population, should ask either the governor or our legislators or state senators to call for an investigation. I really believe that, because voting is just not going to get it done. You still have the bed bugs in the bed factory. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes. I got a question. Why is it, even if you have an election, and why is it you have the same thing going on constantly?
Exactly. That's my...
So in other words, you know who's culpable?
Who?
The public.
Okay.
Because
I agree with
we are being conditioned by thugs out there that run the government.
Mm-hmm.
They've been... In other words, our government been hijacked by some mobsters.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I say we should run out to the beach and do an SOS, put an SOS on every building, on every city building, and I know in state building too. But we really need it's a runaway train.
Look at it this way: if you don't hear about the Bill of Rights or Constitution,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't even teach that in school.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got the federal government tell us, we take our orders not from Congress or we take our orders from the UN. What do you say to that?
Well,
in other words, I
don't know if
people can deny. All they gotta do is open the. In other words,
mm-hmm.
go to the alternative sources like Prison Planet. .tv or InfoWars.
Yeah.
You don't hear about what's happening all over the United States.
Well, no, we don't. But you see, here's a.
We got to prepare it. Yeah. In other words, mm-hmm. we want to make it local, but it's happening all over because you have people that are only interested, even though they say, "Oh, I'm putting out the information," but they still have their own personal motives behind it. Unless we can get beyond, unless we're moral individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, everybody want to determine what is good and bad according to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I won't say everybody, because if that you would have to put yourself in that batch too, and
everybody are culpable, because if you compromise, you say, hey, you know what? They have only a two-party system, and these flunkies, which they replace themselves with,
mm-hmm.
are paid for.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you say, hey, what can we do?
Yeah.
Or we just elect these people.
Yeah.
So in other words, if two sides are bad, and you go over there and elect them, and you expect changes?
Well, I don't know. That's what we have, but again... What I would say, Colin, and I'll let someone else talk, but
okay. This
situation, and if you want to hold on, I'll let them give a... I want to be fair and open. Well, good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Carol, you had a caller calling about the Citizens for a Fair ADA, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're having a meeting on Tuesday on the 14th, 10 a.m. to 11:45 a.m. Very important issues, concern about the handy van, the bus. But I also want to bring up, there's another meeting on the 15th called Oahu Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Mm-hmm.
They're having a meeting on the third floor of Hanohali between 3:30 and about 4:30.
Okay, 3:30.
Just to let you the callers know.
And Omar.
We'll talk about all the transportation issues.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Anyway, caller, the earlier caller, if you want to call back. Here's what I welcome the people, the issues about the United Nations, but I think one of the crippling behaviors that I see amongst us locally is that we place great emphasis on what the United Nations and we're taking our orders. And I hear this all the time, and I hear the theory about the towers falling, and I hear about the – that to me is okay, but stay here on this side of the line and raise hell. Because I get the sensation that we'll go abroad to raise hell because then it's safe. We're not going to put our feet in the water and really get our feet wet. So, but we're activists and we're fighting. But it's hard to stay home locally and fight these people because or become creative and talk about the conspiracies that are truly exist. So we gravitate to the things that are abroad, and we come out with these fanciful things about Obama and the Bilderbergs and the icebergs and all of that. Stay home for a day. Or if you're going to fight 5 days out of the week, take one of those days and stay local and put your fingers in the chest of the local knuckleheads that's stealing from us. Do it that way, but you lose me when you want to go abroad and become fancy and tell me about all these fancy websites. Stay here and build a website. Stay here and stand up and feel the asset and experience the asset locally, because it's more of an escape when you go abroad. You can do many things. You can say things, sling and hurdle insults and allegations, but stay here, you see. Put that energy in the local. I'm not saying don't think globally, but when we tend, I hear all of these theories, and I every day I get a new email about Obama or about George Bush and the Bilderbergs and the, you know, and it's like, that's why government got you running. That's why government can stand up and build a team like Hart locally. That's why people can gravitate or flow back and forth across the hallways from government to a private organization, and then turn around and make an organization to deal with your problems and call it quasi-government. I've talked about that a long time ago, where you get a quasi-government so that you can hide documents, you can hide your activities, because they're really private, but they're not. So they're under the OIP, Office of Information Practice, but they're not, because there's some of it is private. So stay local and fight. I want to see the same brain muscle that you use in talking about that. And this is just my suggestion. And you're not going to satisfy everybody. I have an email I want to share with you about this. You know, no matter who you are, you're never going to be perfect. I'm not perfect, and I'm not here to pretend that I'm perfect. I'm sure if you just look a couple inches behind, you'll find many of things that I've done wrong or right or just made a dumb decision. But I try to do what's good. And what does that mean? I don't know. But it makes me feel good. As long as I'm not stealing, and as long as it doesn't have somebody else's initials on it, then and I earned it, then it's mine. That's what I call right and wrong, and not troubling the other man or woman or anyone else being offensive in society. So, you know, I talked last week about a show about Malufiti, the Poor Dogs in Popoki, got a grant. And Ernie Martin had channeled the money to her through an amendment and what have you in the city budget. And there's another $150,000 that's up in the air. So I talked about it extensively, and I didn't know what impact it would have. But I assured myself that it will have some impact, and thanks to all of you who got involved. But show you how people think, and you're never, ever going to get it right. Never. I don't care who you are. Never. I find barrels of chemicals laying on the side of the road, dumped illegally. I do a news story, and there will be some knucklehead that will write and go, there goes Carol Cox, looking for more exposure. Right? He's looking for attention. So that's why we have psychiatrists for people like that. I don't take it personal. I mean, it's basically a way of gauging how effective I am, because the politician's not going to call me up and say, you really hit me hard. So I look for these things. But anyway, there's a lady. Her name is Sabrina Della Rama. This is an email now, and this could be, her name could be James Brown, but I'm going to give you this email that I got. Mail to s.delarama, D-E-L-A-R-A-M-A, at yahoo.com. And she's writing to Alicia Malofiti, Colleen Okada, Nancy Donahue Jones, Blake O'Shira, Teddy, Antolion, Lana, or Isla, and Patty Fields, and Mara Fujii, and Jen Palo Palo Talk. So, action alert from Animal Rights. Animal Rights Hawaii, Kathy Gogel, wrote an email saying, alerting people about this topic that I had raised about the money being channeled to Malofiti, and had concerns. So, you never get it right. And this is, I think that this is why people flock to the subjects abroad, because they can't take the sting and the acid that might be spewed locally, but it's okay. So here, I'm just going to read some excerpts, but an interesting part is, thank you for bringing this to my attention. However, I'm confused. I don't understand why you would not want another organization to get the grant. Well, the reason we don't want to get the grant, because they didn't go through the proper procurement procedures, and it's to a special person, to a friend of Mufi Hanneman, and it was done the way it was done and what have you. And professionals say that it was not necessary. They could use the money in better places and be more efficient and effective. And also, the spay-neuter program ran out of money. They could have used that money to infuse the existing program. So if you don't support her and her efforts to move on this grant, Than, T-H-A-N, you should just start writing your tax dollars to Hawaiian Humane Society. Hawaiian Humane Society gets grants all the time, and that we don't approve, and yet no one's stopping that. Again, you can't get it right, folks. You just can't get it right. So anyway, she goes on to say, on the issue with Cox, he is all about drama and a hypocrite. He doesn't want any money going to HHS, and yet stops money from going to others that will help. So apparently this radio show has some impact, because a person who supports Malofiti is acknowledging or disclosing that the money was stopped. We reported that we had some kind of mixed message that they had canceled it, but we weren't sure. That's why I like these messages. When people say bad things about you, they're really not bad things about you if you're mean, because that's the way I get to gauge if I'm being successful. The more pissed off they get, the better I think I am being effective. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but if that's what they do, that's what they do. So she goes on to say, I haven't heard or seen Cox use his personal time or personal funds to help the animals. He needs to get a life. I will write to him as well, telling him what an idiot he seems to be. So smart, but yet so stupid. Can stupid people be hypocrites, or are stupid people just stupid? I'm confused. So if there's a psychiatrist out there to help me make it through the day on this one, I really would appreciate it, because it's driving me crazy, folks. I mean, but again, it's entertaining. This is what you do. And that's just minor. I mean, I get it from all corners. But you see, I'm not working for the nutcakes out there. I'm working for the people that have common sense, that appreciate life, not Carol Cox, that appreciate the quality of life, and not appreciating Carol Cox. I'm not even a messenger, because I can't deliver the bigger message out there. I can't. So I'm just working at it, hoping that you appreciate what I do. And then there will be stupid moments that I'll display and behave like, but it's okay. But anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. So I bring that to the attention. That's why some people will go abroad and work on issues and talk in theories, and because they don't want to be attacked like this. But as Kimo Kealii said, bring it on. So anyway, good morning, Carly. You have a comment or question?
Hi, good morning. You are the messenger, and so are we. You are Mr. Messenger, helping us out for all the bad things that happens to us. I have another problem.
Okay.
They used to catch the cats. I never catch the cats deliberately. I got those traps out for my rat problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the cats go in there, and the birds go in there. You know what happened? the Humane Society. I used to take him down to the Humane Society. I used to take the cats to the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
But so I told the Humane Society, come and pick it up. Because when the neighbors see all the Humane Society cars, they don't like me,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because I got the cat. I never care. If they want their cat, I'll give them back their cat. You know, they can have their cat back. But keep your cat in the cat house. So you know what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I have human waste in front of my sidewalk, and the minor birds are eating it. So I'm telling you guys, no eat the minor birds, because the minor birds are eating human waste.
Okay.
The front. Pardon?
So you don't have problems with the cats now, you have problems with the humans.
Oh, yes. They come for you. You know these people that say, I have a friend, I have a gangster friend, I can pay him and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? You do it, because I might kill you first.
Well, we don't advocate violence on the show.
Yeah. I'm sorry. See, like, we make mistakes. You are the messenger, and I am a messenger. Guess what now? I get one bill. I have a bill that I'm planning to pay. The Humane Society told me they cannot come and pick up the cats anymore. I said, oh, you cannot pick up the cats. They said, yeah, you have to let the cat go. I said, okay, I'll let the cat go. But you know what? I'm not letting the cat go. I'm going to pay $20, and they can come and pick it up. And the people who lost the cat can go over there and pay what they ever have to, $30 or $50.
Right. Well, let me
just say
this. I
have a bill, $20 now I got to pay. So they can come and pick up the cat, and I will give you your $20 or your $10. I thought you guys had a, when you guys got to come do your work too much, you start making me pay, huh?
Well, isn't that the way it is today?
Yeah, isn't that the way it is today? Chi-chi-chi-ching.
So
but, you
anyway,
know, I don't get mad about it. My voice is ugly, and I have mad about it. No, I give the solutions to myself.
Well,
and I get a cat in the cage.
Let me make one suggestion. You've gotten your foot caught in a grinder, and you're now grinding away. And
I'm not grinding away. Please don't tell me I'm grinding away. Or I'm venting.
Hold on.
That was embarrassing the last time you told me that.
Hold on. I mean, you can't just call up and tell. You're more than welcome to always call, but I'm just suggesting to you, maybe step back a moment.
I'm stepping back. I'm going to pay them $20 every time they come and pick up the cat.
Right. And
maybe, they're going to make money.
Maybe
how much do they have to pay to get their cat
maybe
back?
Maybe that cat has a show up there just to look at you, look in your eyes, and maybe see the softer side of life.
No, he just loves the yard. There's no dogs in this big, beautiful yard of mine.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, a cat is an animal. Let's just simplify this. In most,
yes,
the
minds, cat is the animal.
The minds of most people, he's just an animal.
Yes.
But they're brilliant animals, and I'm not defending them, and I'm not being weird.
Yes.
And so he shows up in your yard, and he looks at you, and...
doesn't look at me.
Well, he...
goes
he,
after my fish.
Okay, well, then you must have some pretty
fish. Maybe he's catching the rats.
Okay.
Maybe he's doing a service for me. But
now,
you know what he does? He leaves his... he leaves his bowels behind.
Right, and my point
is... and I got to pick it up.
What about the human beings?
Huh?
You say the humans also defecate.
Yeah, right in front of my yard, like a big pile of human... but it might be from the pigs from the mountain. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not an accuser.
Well, all I'm saying to you is that, and I'm going to have to go, just step back a moment, and it's... everything isn't coming at you, and the cats are not coming, and they're not conspiring.
No, I'm going to pay my bill and be
happy
about it.
Not just the bill. Just sit back one day and look. I mean, birds, I park my car sometimes, and I think to myself, my God, why did I park under that tree? But on the other hand, a day without a bird singing is like hell to me.
The bird sings is like a hell to me. People
deliberately.
No.
You didn't listen to what I said. I said I love to hear birds sing, and a day without a bird singing is hell to me. So
yeah, same thing to me, too.
I put up with the droppings. Let me get this other caller, okay?
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you for all your help you're doing.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, Carol.
I lost you. You there? Had a glitch. Call back, caller. Anyway, it was something about RIMPAC, but I'll try and talk about the turtles. Good morning, caller.
Carol.
Yes.
You had a lady the other time was talking about, you know, the RIMPAC, the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was going to talk about Camp Lejeune and all that, the water. Mm-hmm. Is she going to be coming back on your show later on?
Yeah, they passed a bill, and I was waiting. I'm waiting for a person to call, and I wanted to have her on with that person and talking about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we definitely will.
And how's that family with the Bishop Estate down the country? They were being evicted.
I don't know, but I did get a call from a gentleman who said he was a court reporter and real sneaky-like and said he wanted to take my show, and I guess he was working with, I don't know, the law firm he was doing it for, that he wanted to transcribe for the law firm.
Uh-huh.
So who knows? I don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
I haven't heard from him, but we'll be listening, and I'll be talking about it again. I had called over there to mm-hmm. Bishop Estate, and I can't find the number that I left a message and to see why they didn't call me back. But you know how they transfer you.
Right.
So anyway.
And what about the Humanity Society? There was some mix up with somebody's dog or whatever that was sold.
Way back, a shepherd.
Yeah.
I don't know the outcome of that. The person, I think she has a website still. They were working with the Humane Society, and so I don't know the outcome of it, to be honest with you.
Okay. But, all right. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you. Anyway, boy, if you mention animals or what have you, and I thought I had it hard, but. Try being an animal in today's world, whether you're wild, domesticated, or what have you. And I'm not being silly, folks, really. I'm not being silly at all. I just think that if from what I – and I'm not Buddha and I'm not Gandhi or anybody, but if I can feel the pain, the way we talk about animals and the way we wish to treat animals, if you – you know, I used to hunt. See, and this is why it's painful for me. I used to hunt, and I got into that hunting because they say this is how you put food on the table. Well, we grew out of that, but then the hunting became recreation because you get to hang out with the boys, and then you get to go on Thanksgiving Day, and you went out with your uncles and everybody, and you got a new gun, and you on Christmas, and it became a culture. Call me up and curse me out if you like to, but I'm assuring you, you wouldn't want to talk to me later about this. Human beings, and I'm a human being, I found my first, the time, I mean, it used to be when I start seeing how painful it was to shoot and kill something, I didn't know how to deal with it. But finally, and I'll tell you the moment, they're in the desert out in California, and along the California-Arizona border. I was working in enforcement, and part of the game was to sit there and pretend you were hunting, and so you can document people doing things illegal. And I went over and picked up this bird that had been shot. It was a dove, and it was gasping. And you can feel the blood in your hand warm. Now, about that time, I'm about 36, 37. Now, mind you, I'm a guy who hunting was like chasing, for young guys chasing the girls. You had to go hunting, man. If you couldn't go out hunting, something was wrong. And when I experienced that feeling, and this isn't, the animal rights hadn't gotten into my head, and no, nobody's drugged me. I'm just telling you from why I say, step back a moment, because we can get so hard in our views about other animals that, and we're animals too, by the way, I forgot to mention that. But you're feeling this warm blood on a warm day in the desert, and this animal gasping and just sitting there. You walk away. If you're not a human being enough to know that occurred, this is something that's magical, something that's magnificent, it's life. And you just snuffed it because of what? You know? So from that day on, I left there thinking, you've grown up, you've cheated life. You've done it all. Now, mind you, people eat chickens and what have you. But when you do recreation, it was that day, from that day on, that I started to being more sensitive. And I say to all of you, if you can't be moved by the thought or the sight of dogs stacked on one another and being burned or being euthanized, not because they did something wrong, but they ended up in the wrong family or the wrong economic situation. And so we as human beings, we get all aggravated and concerned and angered about the neighbor's cat. And yes, the neighbors are wrong for letting, if they don't want the cat there, then you should do everything you can to keep that cat out of that neighbor's yard and be offending the neighbor. I'm fortunate. I have a cat that adopted us, and then my neighbors adopted that cat, and so the cat has two homes. So I'm lucky. But what I'm saying to you is that, and I'll talk about it later because there's so much, but this thing about sea turtles, we're saying there's too many sea turtles. And I have to stand back and ask, when one say too many, use that term too many, when does the clock start? When man got here, were there too many? And what was the number? Man's number increased, and the population of turtles decreased. Where's too many? And so I think as logical, reasonable people, or human beings, we should be able to think past that. But instead, we say, well, I used to eat them. We should have the right to eat them. Some cultures in the Pacific believe that the blood of the turtle is healing and healthy and what have you. I'm not arguing with that, but that same culture dumped their sewage in the water, and the same culture dumps the chemicals in the water, and the same cultures tolerate the overfishing in the water, and yet they still proclaim there are too many turtles. And some say, well, I wouldn't eat one because a turtle cries. Well, I won't go that far, and I think the scientific reason is that he just cleared the salt is being cleared from his eyes. That's how they eject salt from their bodies, but if that's what you want to overlay. But again, listen to that sound or that statement. There are too many. And how are these are the same people that are proclaiming there's too many are the same people that are flushing the toilet maybe 10 times a day. The same people that are using their cars that have transported here on the carriers, the bulk carriers, that grind up some of the turtles, that kill some of the turtles, that hit them in the propellers. And yes, I know turtles are eaten by sharks, and so therefore if turtles congregate here, but that's what they do. They eat limu, they eat kelp, they eat seaweed, they eat jellyfish. And so it's a, I don't want to be offensive, but it's called an ecosystem. And it's called, while we are now believe that we're not part of the ecosystem because we're on dry land. And when occasionally we go recreate, and occasionally a shark bite us. And I would say maybe you need to change the sunscreen lotion. Because if it smells good, eat it. You know, and that's probably what the shark, no, I'm just teasing. But we need to come to our senses on this. If we are having such a negative impact, and not to mention the tumors and the things that are, the turtles are. And let me say this to you. There are very few beaches on this island or other islands that human beings don't walk on and trample on every day. Everybody build and they dump the chemicals. They wash the lawns. They fertilize the lawns. And so all of that is runoff. Where do these turtles nest? See, so when we claim, oh, there's too many, and you're going to hear this, the federal government now is thinking about this, but they're not taking, they're bending and bowing to politics. And I have as much right to say no as the others say, yes, we have a right to eat them. Because I can quantify the impacts that exist out there. So you go to the beaches, people are walking and trampling and pounding the sand and compacting the sand, and the lights, and you got the mongoose and everything else. If there were a nest to occur, where the turtles nest? They French frigate shoals, maybe, and a few on the Big Island have been reported, and I think there were attempts at a nest on this island. But with the impact, So that alone should give cause or rise to us thinking that maybe we need to back off. Maybe we need to look back and quantify the whole process. Yes, being native is one thing, but you are also contributing. When you drive your truck down the road to practice the native rites, you're putting the oil, the rubber, the fumes, all on the ground and running into the ocean, and you're causing the decrease in numbers and the decline of numbers and the impact. So we should share the responsibility as a whole, all of us. And, you know, I mean, I think I could probably trick the system and declare that I'm maybe a Blackfoot Indian, I don't know, or something, you know, and say that I have some rights. But in my heart, it won't allow me to do that because I know the greater impacts. I know what is occurring. And, you know, that argument was being bantered about sharks eating turtles. But remember, we decimated the population of sharks for their fin. So when you stand back and look at it, all of it, the same agencies that allowed shark finning to occur here without it being checked or regulated or anything, we had to scratch and bite to make it happen. Now it's the same agency that's saying we should consider, and the evidence given is enough to warrant consideration for the delisting. And delisting is nothing more than a political move on the hotels and other big businesses and commerce. Because if you have an endangered species, you have to do certain things. But if it's not endangered, you can kind of like relax and go at things the way you want to without any constraints or fewer constraints. I'm just putting it in a nutshell for you, simplifying it. But it has greater ramifications. It's not about just a developer would love to see the sea turtle, because if, let's say, Lanikea Beach, they haul out there. And, well, they got to be careful because they're threatened. They're not endangered. They serve under the green sea turtle and in the category of threatened. But if you delist that animal, then you can just treat it like it's a napkin. And you don't have the constraints. And so you can build your hotels and do whatever and run your jet skis and commercial activities in that area and just have a good time because there's too many turtles. But the question is, if we can't as human beings understand that when we arrived here on these shores, way back when, there were more turtles than people, and now there's fewer turtles than people. You figure it out. That's where we're stuck. And like that lady said, that I was stupid. I'm not going to tell you you're stupid, but just give it some thought. And if you can't find a little warm place in your heart for the animals who have to put up with us every day, we throw them a new trick every day. And our hearts are hardened, and all we can do is come up with the fact that we have a right to eat them. We used to eat them. There's too many. I hope never to have to be sitting down and with a barbecue stick stuck up me because they looking at me and I hear them say my last thing that I hear before the grill hits me and the fire as I'm roasting is that there was just too many of them. We have a right to eat him. So if that's what it's based on, we're in trouble because we're going to start eating one another because there's too many of us. I'll talk to you next week, and there's a lot more, and I'm being silly with you, but I'll talk to you next week. Aloha.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.